Welcome again to our series on the goodness and severity of God. Now, God wanted to impress upon his own people, his own nation, Israel, this, if I could say, duality of character, his goodness and his severity. And how did he do this? Well, in the Bible, we have different sections, and it starts off with the Pentateuch, five books of Moses. And the first one is Genesis, where we see the seeds, if I could say this, of virtually every truth in life, in the Word of God. Then Exodus, where we see God saving his people from Egyptian bondage and bringing them into the promised land. Then we have the book of Leviticus, which is the handbook of the priests. Numbers, which was indeed the story of the journey of the children of Israel through the wilderness. And then Deuteronomy, the reading, the second reading of the law of God before they crossed over. Well, that's followed by other books, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, onwards. And they deal with the later history of the children of Israel. And after that, we have the Psalms and Proverbs. There's the book of Job. There's the Song of Songs. And then we have the major prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. But all these prophets actually were leading the people back to the quintessence of the message of God through Moses to the children of Israel. And they pleaded with the children of Israel to come back to the law. And the New Testament actually picks that up too. And it speaks of us having the law of God in the fleshly tables of our heart. In other words, living as God wants us to live. Well, we're on the theme of the goodness and the severity of God. And so I want to look with you to begin with at the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. And in Leviticus chapter 26, God starts off with this thought. He says this. He said, look, if you are obedient, then this is what I will do for you. If you are obedient, this is what I will do for you. And the first thing he promises is this, that he will give rain in due season. You know, when we consider life, what is the most important thing about life? Well, we first have to have air, but then water. Then water. We cannot live without water. We cannot produce crops without water. And we know perhaps in our lifetime of vast areas in the world which have not had water, had drought. And we, as a fellowship, we help in certain countries like Malawi. And that country has been smitten by one drought after another. And the result is the people are impoverished and we have to help feed as many as we can. But, you see, God says to the children of Israel, now if you are obedient, if you will obey those 10 commandments, if you will have no other God before me, if you will not make graven images and bow down to them, if you will not take the name of the Lord in vain, if you will keep the Sabbath day, make it holy, devote yourself on the Sabbath day to the Lord, if you will honor your father and mother, if you will not commit murder, if you will not steal, if you will not commit adultery. You see, all these things, and not to covet, not to bear false witness. Those are the Ten Commandments. He said, now look, if you keep those, he said, I am going to bless you. And essentially, the blessing can be divided into two parts. First of all, he said, I will send rain. I will send rain in due season. How important it is to have rain at the right time. And have just the amount of rain that we need so that the crops flourish and mature and we have harvest time and we have food to eat. So Israel, being an agricultural nation, well, essentially, that meant a lot to them. And so God said, you're going to have that rain. That is my goodness in sending forth rain at the right time. Well now, that's what he promised them, you see. And then there's something else that's very important in life. And that is peace. Peace. Oh, peace is what people will give almost anything to have. That they can dwell at peace. And that peace means not only peace in our heart, but peace around us. And that our enemies don't provoke us, or so that we have to constantly be concerned about terrorists and the like, or wars. Well, what happened? God said, look, this is what I want to give you. This is a manifestation of my goodness, sending rain in due season and giving you peace from all your enemies. See, that's part of the goodness of God. And he said, you will dwell safely. Now, there's this old story, you know, about the times of the Indian Wars in the West. And, you know, missionaries used to go out and they used to have pieces of land. They would build their house. They would farm. And they would preach the gospel to those around them. Well, life could be quite dangerous at times. The Indian nation could be provoked. And they would come against what they termed the white settlers. Well, they would perhaps scalp them, kill them, and so forth. And a lot of these areas had no protection because the army wasn't there. Well, they generally had warning about the fact that the Indians might be coming. And, you know, in various settlements, you know, the people would arm themselves with guns and so forth to defend themselves. But this missionary couple believed that, no, that was wrong. They should trust God. And so what they did, you know, they were going to sleep that night. And they put the leather little handle through the hole of the door. And it meant if they pulled that leather, one on the outside could open the door and come in. And they said, look, Lord, we are going to trust you. You have said that if a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. We are going to trust you. We have kept your commandments. We have preached your word. We believe you to protect us. Well, they did that. Well, the Indians came, but the Indians saw that. And you know what they did? Instead of attacking that house, one of the braves put his arrow through that loop. A sign of friendship. You see, it is so important to understand these things. You see, that if our ways please the Lord, he will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. Well, there you are. You see, and it was very clear. You see, God made this promise to them in Leviticus. And then we go on. You see, there were other promises that he made to them, and he would care for them. But there was the other side, the wicked. You know, God said, look, I want to show my goodness to you. You keep my commandments. I'll give you rain in due season. I'll give you peace. But he gave a solemn warning. He said, if you don't keep my commandments, if you don't walk in my ways, then I will raise up enemies against you. I will cause them to afflict you. And we see that in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, you know, there's consistent repetition of a cycle. You know, the children of Israel would not keep the commandments of God. And so God would raise up an enemy, a repression against them. And then they would cry out after years of being oppressed by the enemy. They would cry out to God. And God would send repentance. They would turn again and start to serve God with all their heart. God would raise up a judge or a savior, and he would be with that savior. And we've all heard, I think, of Gideon and Samson and the like. And these men became mighty warriors, and they defeated the armies of the enemy, and they brought Israel back into peace. Well, that's the book of Judges for you. But it's repeated. It's repeated time and time again through, shall I say, the history of the children of Israel. When they disobeyed, then God brought upon them severe, shall I say, judgments. Now then, I want to develop this because it's very important to understand that what God promised the children of Israel, it is that we be instructed and that we inherit the same promises. That God indeed will protect us if we walk in his ways. And I would like to give a few personal illustrations of the goodness of God in my own life. You know, we have sought to please God, and we have seen the protection of God in times of great danger. I'd like to go back to when I was a teenager in World War II, and we were living in London, suburbs of London, and night after night, you know, the German bombers would come over and unleash their bombs upon London. And seemingly our area wasn't touched for a certain length of time. And then we had a dream. We had a dream that our house would be hit. We saw it in ruins, and we had that dream. And you know, my father was out with the army in another country, and my mother, my brother, well, we were there, we were still in school. And through that dream, it was decided that this particular weekend, my mother would take my brother and myself to our grandparents. Now, we were accustomed to going to the grandparents once a month. But this weekend wasn't the normal time to go to our grandparents. But our mother felt, no, we must go. We must absolutely go. And that weekend, we went to grandparents. Well, we were in church on Sunday morning. And a policeman came. And he asked for my mother. And he said, and our news has got through, that your home has been a little damaged by a bomb last night. Well, my mother went with her brother, and the police escorted her to the place a few miles away where we were living. Well, it's a typical British understatement. A landmine had hung on a little tree just opposite our house, and eventually in the wind it hit the tree and exploded. And I tell you this, there was very little left of our house. The police, a little damaged, was the understatement of the year. But we were spared. We were spared. Unfortunately, many of our neighbors were in their homes at that time. And the bricks came down upon them, and they couldn't get out. The gas mains were broken, and they were asphyxiated, and many people were lost their lives. But we were spared. Well, it continues. You know, my wife and I were missionaries in Africa, and in the country of Uganda. And there at the time of Idi Amin, there was a lot of violence, a lot of cruelty, a lot of shootings. And we had been invited to be speakers at a certain convention in Soroti. Now, we were in the capital city of Kampala. And we were due to go the next day to Soroti to start speaking at a convention. And we were with a missionary who we were supporting there, and he had a car, and he was going to drive us up to Soroti. Awesome. I don't know how many miles, you know, tens of miles away from Kampala. Well, the car wouldn't go. So he took it to the garagist, and the garagist looked at it and thought he'd fixed it, and drove back to the home. And so we decided the next day, all right, we'll go. Again, the car wouldn't go. It just would not go. He took it back to the garagist, and again, the garagist fixed it. He drove it back to the house, and when we were due to go, it would not go again. Well, this happened for 3 days. And on the fourth day, the car went. And we got into the car, and we drove off from Kampala to Soroti. And I don't know how many of you have been to Africa, but, I mean, people are everywhere in Africa. But when we got to Sarote, there was nobody on the streets at all. And then we had to find out where the Christians were, where they were gathering. And we were told all they're gathering outside the city, which is very strange because the convention should have been in the city. No, it was outside the city. And there we found them cowering in, you know, mud huts there. And we said, why? They said, well, Idiyar means troops came through and shot up the town. They shot everybody who was, you know, visible, as it were, cars and everything. And they said, had you have been going through Sarote at that time, you would have lost your life. You'd have been shot up with the others. Well, that's God. God protecting us from our enemies. Was that an isolated case? No, it was not. We were in Guatemala. And we were in a time of violence there. We were in a hotel. We were ministering at a certain church and having a convention. And we were told that the rebels were coming and invading the city. Well, we got up on the roof of our hotel, and from that roof we could see clearly, you know, the various streets running parallel to that hotel. And we could see the terrorists coming up a certain road running parallel to the hotel and shooting their way. But we were safe. We were safe. We were protected where we were. God led us to that place, and that place was like a haven. The terrorists did not touch it at all. We were preserved. We were preserved. Yes, God said, I will give you peace. I will protect you from your enemies. I will make even your enemies be at peace with you. Yes, we have experienced that. We have been in many areas where there has been warfare, but God mercifully has led us in such a way that we were in a path of peace amongst the other paths that were filled with shooting and killings, murder and the like. No, God has fulfilled his word to us. And you see, the purpose of this is simply to say that God's goodness is for those who will indeed obey him. But those who do not obey him, well, they suffer. They suffer all kinds of things. And some of the things that they suffer are this: famine. And how many areas in the world have we been in where famine is? And the reason for it has been very clear. It has been the attitude of the population there. Evil, murderous, violent, and God has withheld rain, and famine has resulted. And in some cases it's gone to pestilence and, you know, many sicknesses and many people dying for the simple reason that they have not obeyed God. And thus we see in the world today the goodness and the severity of God. And I want to say one or two other things that is very important, because God says, I will appoint terror. I will appoint terror. And God does indeed appoint terror to those who will not obey him. And so there is the severity of God in the land of the living. But for those who indeed will obey him, You know what he said? I will set my tabernacle in your midst. I will dwell in your midst. And oh, what we have experienced in some of these lands of terror. We have been canopied with the peace of God. And that peace of God passeth all understanding. And whilst everybody else has been terrified by the things around them, you know, we have enjoyed the peace of God with those other Christians who have been obeying the word of the Lord. And so I want to put before you this truth, the goodness and the severity of God. God is a good God, and God wants to show his goodness to each and every one of his people who would obey him. But those who do not obey him, he withholds the rain, sends famine, sends pestilence, sends terrorists into their midst. But may God grant that by his mercy, you will indeed walk in his goodness, walk uprightly before him, and you will enjoy indeed food in due season, and also peace, his glorious peace, in the midst perhaps of great trouble and, shall I say, terror. May God grant that you will dwell in his goodness. Amen.